Wish you all a very good evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I invite you to turn to the scriptures in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We are reading from King James Bible. There will be copies available in the hymn racks. So, if you do not have a copy, help yourself to one. Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. The reading of God's word is up to here. Let us pray. Father in heaven, bless the reading and the preaching of Thy holy word. May Thy Holy Spirit descend into every humble, broken, contrite heart that is here to receive Thy instruction. And may thy Spirit enable thy servant to declare the word of God with clarity and power to the glory of thy name. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme for our consideration tonight is, who shall inherit the kingdom of God? For the alternative of those who do not is that they will receive the punishment of the lake of fire forever and ever. Now these are the two alternatives, no other. Unfortunately, today, when we talk about kingdom of God, there are two meanings. In the Church of Jesus Christ, please understand that the Bible Presbyterian Church, of which we are part of, is but a drop in the ocean of Christendom. So that what we say and what we read from the Word of God, in which we believe and we love and cherish, is meaningless to the majority of churches. Did you know that? So why we mean the kingdom of God to come? Something which God has prepared for them who believe and who love Him, that God purchased with His own lifeblood of His Son, is foreign to the majority of churches. Now this may come to you as a shock and a surprise. I want to stress again that BP Church is but a drop in the ocean of churches, and the churches today are but a fraction of the available population of the earth. So what are we talking about? Tonight we gather here to consider whether you or me, and let us each one be honest, examine your own life, your own heart, your own persuasion. Will I, following Jesus Christ as my Lord, eventually inherit the kingdom that He has prepared for them that love Him? To the majority of churches, it means something quite different from what we think of. And the kingdom of God to them is a man-made regime on earth towards which the whole earth today is speeding towards. The kingdom of God on earth. And it is spearheaded by what we all know as ecumenical movement. The ecumenical movement means there is a movement of thinking people of the world that unless we have a one world system, the people of the world shortly may just blow themselves up and there will be no more humankind on earth. Did you know that? Last year in July, the Pope gave to President Obama. Now when we talk of these two things, please understand. One is the head of the Christian church in the world, which today effectively includes also the Protestant church. That added together would be about 2 billion or 2,000 million. And Mr. Obama is head of the most powerful single nation on earth, United States of America. Now, what is the significance of the Pope talking to Mr. Obama and giving him an encyclical?
Do you know what is an encyclical? Encyclical is a papal letter, a document. And it's not like I write to you, you write to me, or one page or two pages. It is over 3,000 pages. It is a document from the Pope, the most powerful religious leader, to Mr. Obama, the most powerful political leader. The two of them shortly will rule the world. Again, this may come to you as a surprise, a shock. How can it be? Now, what does the letter say? Mr. President, please consider. The world is going up in chaos. 2 years ago, we had an economic explosion because thieves in America had stolen money. And the rest of the world suffer and pay for the price. How can this be? The Pope says, we must put this to right. Let's act on it. The document, the encyclical, plainly appeals to Mr. Obama. This world needs a new political authority. You say, what about United Nations? I say to you, what do you think? What about the United Nations? In the United Nations, there are about 200 national communities representatives who meet from time to time. And it has been reduced to a debating society. They go there to talk with ideas. Much words, but little action. It is an impotent body. So this is what the Pope means. We need a political authority, and in his exact words, with teeth. In other words, with power that can be used executively. If the authorities in these world political bodies says, let's do this, that country is misbehaving, falling out of line, we'll take action. It will act. This is the meaning of it. When the time comes, the two powers will rule the world. And when that time comes, oikoumene, which means ecumenical movement. The end of the ecumenical movement will achieve a result. And that result is there will be a new world order. That will come. Yes. Who says so? Not me. But the Word of God. There will be a new world order, which was first declared by President Bush during the first Gulf War. And he says, America will lead the world to a new world order. This is prophetic. So today we are talking about those things. When we talk of, will you inherit the kingdom of God? To them it means something totally different. Will you be part of the new world order when it comes? When there will be peace on earth, one world authority will rule the world. All this is in the Word of God. Now tonight we are here not to concern ourselves with those things. We are not politicians. We are not sociologists to study the problem of society and how to cure the ills of society. No. Those things can never be cured. Impossible. But to the dreamers in the ecumenical movement, when we have harnessed all the forces and put them together and there is a world power, religious, political, joined together, people will have to be in order, under control, Because this body will have teeth to discipline and to enforce what they want us to do. So that is the kingdom of God. So please, before we start, I just want to explain this very simply. So that you understand, we are talking about two different things. Our concern tonight is, when Jesus comes, it will be the day of God as descend on planet Earth that will bring to a halt all human activities at that time, to the attention of all humankind to look. Jesus the crucified we thought was dead and gone is back. Not just back, but with all power and authority and the glory of the angelic hosts to earth, to take hold of the control of earth. He said, sounds like fantasy. My friends, have faith. This is what we are talking about. And this is what Paul is concerned talking about in Romans chapter 8. How can we inherit the kingdom of God which is prepared for us now in heaven? And when the time comes, it will come on earth. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign on earth. Israel will be restored. You and I who believe will be given authority under the Lord Jesus Christ to reign with Him 1,000 years. Now that's going into specifics, and we're not here to discuss those things tonight, because there are many versions, many points of views, even among evangelical believing Christians. There are different ideas about how to interpret the millennium. So we're not here to talk about millennium. I'm just telling you that 1,000 years, the whole world will be brought under one authority, Jesus Christ. And there will be kingdom of God on earth. Will you be part of it? A kingdom that is partly on earth, partly in heaven, ruled by the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we all love and whom we believe. Do you? Ask yourself, be very clear. Do I believe in Jesus really? For if you believe, there must be proof how you live your lives. To just say, I believe and live on as before. Or to go to a church that says, we relate to the world, we are relevant to society. And what you hear there is pop songs, fashions. And at the end of the service, you say, I have been now to a rock concert. That kind of impact, that kind of church is now filling the world. We are so happy that you come here on Sunday night. Because sometimes in the past, by the way, this service has been going on 31 years. And then sometimes it goes deep down to a slump. Then we get only about 200 people. I say, what's happening? Our church in the morning has 1,200. By the evening, not even of the 1,200, not even 100 come. What are the rest doing? Amazing. So we wonder whether it is worthwhile. Is it worthwhile to be concerned with God's kingdom? To keep on telling people the times are perilous? We've just finished 3 months of it. Next week, we start a new quarter. What is the new quarter all about? About our people. About God's plan for eternity. About the calling of the Jews. About one man called Abraham. Why did God call him? And how is the whole future fate of the world resting on the Jewish people? Why? All these things will be discussed, but we're not here tonight to talk about it. We have been concerned with the peril of the times that we are living through. You say, what peril? We don't. Singapore is so peaceful, isn't it? So you laugh. I say, dear friends, we mean every word of what we say. The peril of the times is that the world is overwhelmingly persuasive and attractive. More and more people are absorbed and captivated by the world. Your faith as Christians is like a pie in the sky. And they don't really believe. The churches, I mean, they don't really believe. So when you talk of kingdom of God, they think of kingdom of God as organized by the United Nations or by authority that is coming that will fill the earth. And they want to be part of it, part of the action, the ecumenical movement. No, that is a peril. It comes onto the earth through every sector of society. Through the educational system, which tells your children from the time they go to school until they finish, until they become working leaders of society, that there is no God. No, we don't believe there is a God. And we'll build our kingdom of God on earth. And that is what they are concerned about. We are not. Please understand, if you had been thinking of a kingdom of God on earth, to have a wonderful utopia coming, and life will be so good today, everything is press button. What do you want? Press a button, it happens. And people are getting to live better, live longer, enjoy life better than ever before. No. One IR is not enough. Two. Before long there'll be more. And other ways to captivate people. The world is so good. Why are you so stupid? Believing in the pie in the sky? I say to you all, dear friends, thank you for coming. At least there are here 200, 300, 350 maybe. We are so happy that at least 350 people come tonight. But where are the rest of the thousand and more who come to the morning service and think, oh, we've done our courtesy call to God. That's enough. We've given 2 hours of our time to God. That's enough. This is the peril, dear friends, the peril. The world comes in, encroaches, and takes away all your time until you don't know. You're not conscious of it. It's so oblivious of the whole thing. Because life is so good. This is the problem. This is the peril. Now we finish the peril. Now, tonight is the last one. Who shall inherit the kingdom of God? This kingdom of God is today invisible. You cannot see it on earth. But it is in the hearts of God's people. Are you one of them? If you have come to hear the gospel and to trust and believe in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God sent His only begotten Son to die for you. And in Him you have salvation, forgiveness of sins. And you can begin a new life, it says here, of the Spirit, not of the flesh. What is the difference? Of the flesh meaning to say, you are in charge. The physical, intellectual you, in charge. The flesh, the physical, the intellectual, the mighty I, me and myself. I run my life. That is the flesh. Now the whole question here that Paul is arguing for us is, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because They have stopped walking in the flesh. No, they don't refer everything to what do I think, but what does the Lord think? What does my Christian faith say? I want to do this. I feel like doing it. Well, my church tells me that's all right, as long as you can speak in tongues, you have the signs, you have Holy Spirit, you're part of the business. Carry on. Do what you feel like doing. That is, living under the direction of the flesh. But to live under the power and authority of the Spirit is a totally different kettle of fish. When you come to Jesus Christ, He says, look to the Lamb of God. I gave my life for you, that you believing may not die, pay the price of your sin, and lose your life altogether, and suffer in eternal hell, the lake of fire. When you look to the Lamb of God and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe every word of what you say. I believe the word of God, 100%, inerrant, infallible, and authoritative over my life. Take my life. And may the Spirit of God now live in my heart and be my Lord and Master. You are living in the Spirit. This is the difference. Not, I go to church. My church has got 30,000 members. Very comfortable. Why are you so many? It must be right. Must be right. And it says, carry on. This is the place where you can get health and wealth. You believe on Jesus Christ, you get health and wealth. And so on, you go on. And keep on speaking in tongues. And have visions and dreams and prophecies. Those things are so important. Those things matter. Without those things, you are not part of the business. But then you are going to have with us part of the kingdom of God on earth. And we are going to form it. We are going to bring it to pass. Now that is the difference. Tonight we are asking you, dear friends, will you inherit the kingdom of God? When the kingdom comes, you say, when does it come? I've told you it already. The kingdom comes when the King comes. The King, Jesus, crucified, risen from the dead, but gloriously ascended to heaven. Now at the right hand of God and power. Yes, all power is given unto me, in His own words, in heaven and in earth. Go and be my disciples, witnesses. Go and tell others. There is hope, there is life, there is forgiveness of sins, there is a new life. And then prepare for the kingdom of God. This is what we are talking about tonight. Not dollars and cents, not health and wealth, not political power, not to have an authority that comes to earth and say, now in future we are going to catch all those swindlers in America, all those people who steal billions of dollars and billions of people suffer for them, because of them. We could put a stop to it. Then we have a very wonderful regime. Dear friends, these are the real issues. Behind the scenes, they don't tell you, but it happened last year in Rome when the Pope gave to Obama this encyclical, a request. These things will happen. What are we doing about it? So I say, Jesus is coming. Are you ready for Him? Let me alert you to one thing. There are so many things, so many churches today, so many people who claim to be Christians who are not Christians. Do you know that? Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew 7. Now hear the words of our Lord Jesus Himself. his teaching. Matthew 7:21. So that you will be shocked out of any kind of complacency you may have. Some good feeling that you are business as usual, everything carrying on fine. As long as I pay my courtesy call on God in the morning, who cares? I say, dear friends, listen to this. Matthew 7:21. Jesus says, you people who think all Christians are Christians, wake up. He says this, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, I am a Christian, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Question. What is the will of my Father which is in heaven? What did God say? This is my beloved Son, Jesus. Hear ye him, and listen to what he says. What does Jesus say? Except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into a kingdom. He cannot even see the kingdom of God. So that's what we are required. That's the meaning of our theme for tonight. Who shall inherit the kingdom of God? Will you? Coming to this church, listening to the gospel out of God's book, unadulterated, undiluted, untempered, pure and whole and complete. This is the gospel. No other gospel. We don't say we exclusively have it. We are not exclusive. But we are obedient. This is the way to heaven. And we tell you, will you then absorb this and be eligible for the kingdom of God? Read on. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in your name? In your name cast out devils. In your name done many wonderful works. Spoken in tongues. Having visions and plans of the future given to us by dreams. Amazing business. And they come to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you know we had a church of 50,000. There's one church who claims to have 500,000 in Korea. And his band is called Mr. Moon. Sun Ming Moon. What does he say? He says, Jesus Christ failed in his mission and God has called me to carry on the Christian mission on earth, Sun Ming Moon. And people believe in him, believe him. His church boasts hundreds of thousands of members. These are the people who will come. This is a peril. Do you know? Don't live like the ostrich with its head in the sand and say, all is well, all is well. I say, all is not well. The deception is too strong. And you must know the truth. You must also put your ears to the ground to know what's happening elsewhere. Don't just come to the BP church and say, all is well. Verse 25. Then Jesus says, I will profess unto... Who is Jesus? He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the Creator. He is the one who gave His life for us. And He is the one who is now given all power on earth, in heaven, everywhere. All power is given to Jesus. He said, oh, I didn't know that. But He's dead, isn't it? Crucified, put into the grave, and rotted away. Now people say, oh, you've discovered the grave of Jesus, or your bones of Jesus in is it Jerusalem or something like that. So this is it. Perilous times are here. The evidence of Jesus' resurrection is the most well authenticated and documented event in all history. Christ died and rose from the dead. 40 days on earth, fellowshipping with his disciples, rose to heaven in broad daylight, according to his own prediction. The Son of Man came from heaven, and he is going back to heaven. And there he is going to prepare a place. And he is coming back in all power. Soon he will be here. Are you ready? This is the whole point of tonight's message, to tell you. What you hear and you read from this word is absolutely authentic, inerrant, infallible, and never changes, never make mistake. So verse 23. Then will I profess unto these people who claim to be pastors, workers in the church, amazing claims. What will Jesus tell them? Take note, dear friends. Do not be deceived. For the deceiver is at work. And he wants to deceive all the who are not well informed. Those who do not truly believe will be deceived. Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Alright? Now, why has the church come to this present state? As I want to impress on you again, the PP Church is just a drop. In Singapore, it is once reputed that BP Church is the fastest growing among the churches. Fastest growing. And today, all the BPs, so-called, in Singapore, lumped together, maybe 5,000 people. Maybe. Still nothing compared numerically with the other mega churches. What are we doing? As we persevere to preach the gospel, whether we have 50, 500, 5,000, doesn't matter. As long as we have the truth, let's proclaim the truth and hold fast to it. The world has come to the stage where the church of God has been hijacked by Satan, turned into the synagogue of Satan by the engineering and the underground work of Satan himself. We all understand the 16th century Reformation. There was a great revival of the truth and Christianity brought by Holy Spirit according to God's plan that there was implanted on earth at that time of total darkness in the world. A Bible-believing church started by people like Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, reformers, started a church. And that grew and grew until Rome was shaken. But Rome never gives up. Its own counter-reformation began to work in the 17th century, 18th century, 19th century, until the 20th century. It has blossomed. Its underground work has paid off. Today, every church is flocking to Rome, except the true BPs. I said the true BPs because some BPs are already going that way with a tail between the legs, wagging and say, here we come. Oh yes, wonderful, wonderful. So this is the present status. The churches have capitulated. Surrendered. Billy Graham and all the evangelicals, John Stott, J.I. Packer, and a host of other names. I will not waste your time telling you all these names. You can read them from internet. And all these in the Protestant side say, now we found it. Rome is the church. We are going back to Rome. Who says so? Billy Graham. And all these are flocking, all roads today leading to Rome. So there is the Rome great debacle. All the churches going that way, forming the one world church system and the kingdom of God on earth, aided by the charismatic movement. Whereas formerly, the Roman church kept separate, aloof from us, Protestants. And the Roman church calls us Protestants, damn heretics, keep them out. Last century, they held Vatican II council meeting. No, we have a different tactic now. Strategy changes. Let's call them separated brethren. Come back. And all the Protestants say, wonderful. That's right, we are separated brethren. We go back in one coup without shedding one drop of blood. The whole of Christendom is disarmed. 1994, evangelicals met together with Catholics. About 24 leaders of each side met together. All the best theological brains met together and conferred and studied the situation and said, now we found it. Evangelicals and Catholics are together, the same. Good enough to join hands. So, in one announcement, one fell swoop, any kind of resistance is taken away. Evangelicals are all crawling with tail between their backs. Back to Rome, this is our mother church. So with the Evangelical Church, Anglican Church, all the rest, Baptists, Presbyterians, World Council of Churches. So, where are the BPs? Are there others like the BPs, stupid people still in Singapore, standing fast and say, we resist Rome? Yeah, there are. Many independent churches, Baptist churches, other brethren, the Bethesda group, many of them are still alright. We don't know how the rest are doing. But thank God there is a remnant group. We continue to serve the Lord and to stand fast to say, no, that is the end time deception. And that is not the kingdom of God. They will never be approved by God, because every evil bird, idolaters, liars, homosexuals, gay church, that gay movement, gay church movement is blossom in so many countries around the world, America, Australia, Europe, England, everywhere, gay churches is coming to Singapore. There is one already, maybe more. So it will infect the world, and they together will build. I say, dear friends, stand fast. I do not want to take your time because time is up. I want to read with you the prediction of this falling away. Matthew 24:24. Matthew 24:24. A very well-known verse, and you ought to know it. And if you have a way to mark your Bible, mark it so that you will always remember. Matthew 24:24. Our Lord Jesus says, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, preaching a false gospel, distorting what is in the Bible, the Word of God, with all kinds of new ideas, with rationalism, meaning to say, whatever cannot be reasoned by your intellect is not true. Use your intellect to interpret the Bible. Rationalism, liberalism, modernism, use the same words but give different meanings. Same with new orthodoxy and new evangelicalism. New evangelicalism says the evangelicalism is all right, but make it new, make it progressive. We will join hands with those who are not believers, those who are non-separated, those who are ecumenists. We will join hands. And we will infiltrate, we will improve matters. So this is a problem. Jesus says, false prophets, false Christ, and they shall show great signs and wonders through the charismatic faction. Yes. Amazing miracles. Miracles of healings that are done on stage only, but never in the hospital. You call them, please follow me. I'll take you to Singapore General Hospital, the chronic ward. Come. There are many lumps and bumps. You heal them on the spot for us. No thanks. We need the stage and the setting and our props. We will heal there. The greatest hoax on earth is carrying on today. Miracles, signs and wonders, healings and prophecies. And people flock there by 20,000, 30,000, pay money. So happy. People want to be gullible, to be deceived, to be taken for a ride. And they feel good because there are numbers. Well, so many people cannot be wrong. So, read on, verse 24. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You and I, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, are elect, chosen of God. Do not be deceived. Another verse, and then we conclude. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The warning of Paul the Apostle. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit speaks expressly to us for today, that in the latter times, which is now, some shall depart from the faith. Thank God it's not all shall depart from the faith, but some. Maybe some, majority may depart from the faith, but I say, dear brethren and sisters, stand fast in the faith. Hold fast to the truth, to that which is good. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and I love it because they are poison in the mind. They love the poisonous stuff they are getting, and they are in a kind of intoxicated stage. And they love this false teaching. They hear it. In old times they'll say it's wrong. Now, it's very good. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having the conscience seared with a hot iron, even though in their heart of hearts they know it's wrong, but they, because of the numbers, because of the persuasion, they agree to it. How sad it is. We conclude. Will you be in the kingdom of God? Will you inherit the kingdom of God? Let me ask you, how do you come into an inheritance? There's only one way. The inheritance is there waiting. The only way you can become an inheritor of the inheritance is to be a son of that family. By what? By adoption? Oh dear friends, this is what we are. God chose us. The Holy Spirit came and adopted us to believe in Jesus who died for us, who paid the price to buy us back to God. And the Holy Spirit says, Amen. You believe in Jesus and you become a child of God by adoption. You then get the inheritance. God's inheritance is in heaven. When Jesus Christ comes, it will all be plain. So our one great focus is the blessed hope. The return of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Dear friends, pray, be ready, that the Lord will find you ready when He comes. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, help us to believe and to receive the truth with great joy, and to persevere in our belief and in the things of God. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The closing hymn is